Well, hello again, my Advent friends. Welcome back to our series as we have arrived at the fourth Sunday of Advent. Just a few days left. Here at my house, the snowman countdown to Christmas cubes are down to four. And today, we get to light our fourth candle. And this one is for love. So I decided, what could be more fitting on this Sunday than to open John's Gospel for his Christmas account? It's a little different. But John always focuses on love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's John 3:16, of course. But do you know 1 John 3:16? It's another great one, and it will help us a great deal with the very real challenge of giving a definition to love. How do you define it? As we've seen every week, the first thing to understand about hope, peace, joy, and love is that one simple word can hold a multitude of meaning. For each, there is a distinction between the worldly and the godly meaning. Each one is a feeling, yet the feeling is distinct from the substance. Now, we all love the feeling of love. It's beautiful. But what is the substance of love? 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So how do we know the reality of love? Jesus. He showed us. He sacrificed. A bit of fatherly wisdom for you. Never trust the feeling of love without the sacrifice of love. So is that the whole answer? Have we defined love? Not even close. Love is a symphony. Its instruments are multitude. As for me this year, love has meant a lot. Two new granddaughters, three sweet weddings, a family so close to us. But I think the big one was watching the way that my wife cared for our daughter through chemo. That was a deep lesson in love. She was with her, 200%. Unfailing. And even more, there were so many people caring in so many ways to help our girl get through. So many expressions of love from family to friends to incredible doctors and nurses caring so well for my kid. Love is a symphony. And when all the instruments play in time with his baton, the music is miraculous. And so with that, it's time to light the next candle. The first three should be lit already, so lighter's ready, and let's pray. Lord, we light this candle to honor the coming of Jesus. Because you loved us, you sent Jesus. Lord, teach us to see what love is in him, and let that love flow to us and through us in tune with your symphony. In Jesus' strong name, amen. And now, time for the word. Now, Peyton teaches our John series, but I grabbed this one from a not-yet-released version that I wrote. So you're stuck with me again this time. John's version of the Christmas story is a little different. John wrote later, so he didn't bother repeating the Shepherd's Watch or Angel Song. John zooms out and offers a much grander view of what really happened when that baby was laid down in a feeding manger. Let's read John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So John starts where Genesis started, in the beginning, and already there from eternity past is the Word. Wait, I thought God was there in the beginning. Yep, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Okay, so what is this Word? How do you define the word Word? Remember that a single word can carry a multitude of meaning. Same is true for the word word. And at its most basic, that's just what a word is. Something that carries meaning, delivers a message. It's a beautiful thing, really. I feel something inside me and I want to share it. Words give me language to do it, to express my heart or share my story, to tell you about me. Ideas, plans, emotions, jokes, love and hate, joy and sorrow, all carried between us and others through words. So the idea here is that God had a message to communicate, and the Bible does that with lots of words. And yet, some messages don't quite fit into words on a page, not entirely. Have you ever felt like that? Like you're about to send a text message, but you realize that words really aren't enough. Like this message needs to be in person. Look back at verse 1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, God wasn't just expressing feelings or ideas. He was communicating himself, his person, which explains why the Word is referred to as he, not it. Verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So the Word is creator, made everything. Verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. What a picture. Life, what makes us alive, and light that makes us see. Light for all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is much darkness in this world, but none of it has overcome this light. But in whom was life? Who is this Word that is God's message to the world? It's Jesus, of course. And yet, some just didn't recognize. Verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So John acknowledges that many did not believe. They saw Jesus, heard the Word, and just wouldn't receive him. Receive is an interesting word choice, as though a gift showed up and they decided, return to sender. But John is determined to present this testimony so that we might believe. And verse 12 tells us what's at stake. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Wow. No matter how many times I read that phrase, it still stops me. Children of God, God's own kids, born of God, that we might call out to Creator God and say, Father. That's the relationship we're called to, however broken your relationship might be with your earthly father, or even if it's healthy or in between, God invites you into a new relationship to be his kid. And that blows my mind. I so appreciate the Apostle John, because he is just as amazed by this as I am. In 1 John 3, he says, Behold, what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That kind of love is truly a wonder. His own kids. That's the invitation. But an invitation like that could not be sent with words on a page. A word like that required special delivery, something that carried the full meaning of the message. So in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So God's message came as a living person, flesh and bones, laughter and tears, a face to smile and arms to embrace. Jesus. And he dwelt among us, made himself at home, lived life like one of us. When you really want to get to know someone, you dwell with them. That's what Jesus did for us. John says, We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 17, For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And that's the heart of it. We can't see God. It just doesn't work that way. But Jesus made him known. Jesus is God's message, and God's message is himself. How can we know what love is? Look, see Jesus in the Bible. Watch how he treats people. Watch how he cares. And look around you. Watch the multitude of ways that his instruments deliver his love in our world. We are broken vessels, to be sure. We often play out of tune, break a string. And yet, he chose us. He saw the value in us and redeemed it. He even calls us his own kids. And he teaches us to see others and treat others with that same love. So let's close with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for love and the amazing word you sent us in Jesus to express that love in all its multitude. Teach us to love like you do, Lord. In Jesus' strong name, amen. And that's it for today, guys. Remember that we have just 2 days left to finish out Mark's Gospel, a powerful time to read the greatest expression of love ever shown. And on Christmas Eve, please remember to join us for one more candle as we read the story of Jesus' birth in Luke 2. And we will have one last story for Christmas Day. Now, I know that day can be busy for some of us, so there's no shame if you make that one up the next day. For those who will join me, I am so honored to be part of your Christmas. Merry Christmas, guys. Almost there.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.